From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. President-elect Trump's cabinet confirmation hearings begin this week, and first up is Attorney General nominee Jeff Sessions. The longtime senator from Alabama served as the state's attorney general before being elected to the Senate in 1996. He takes a hard line that could produce big changes in Obama-era law enforcement policy. He has a controversial past. In 1986, he was denied a federal judgeship after colleagues said he used the N-word. Now more than 1,000 law professors have signed a letter protesting his nomination. This hour on Point, we're looking at Jeff Sessions. At his Thank You Tour rally in Mobile, Alabama on December 17th, Donald Trump introduced Jeff Sessions, who he called a great, great man. Sessions was elected to the Senate in 1996.
He is someone who cares deeply about justice, who believes all people are equal in the eyes of the law. He is a great, great man. He's an Alabama native. He could have run for the rest of his life. Nobody even wants to run against him.
And he will be, said Trump to the big crowd there, the next Attorney General of the United States. Hearings starting this week. Senator Sessions, very critical of American immigration policies, very pro-restriction. Here he is at the Republican National Convention on July 18th.
Excess immigration floods the labor market, reducing job prospects and wages. Improper vetting places our nation at risk of terrorism. Remember, the president has the clear power to suspend immigration to protect America. So Americans want help now.
That presidential power, whatever it is, will stand behind the next Attorney General of the United States. It could be Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Joining me first today from Washington is Del Wilbur, reporter for the Los Angeles Times, covering the Justice Department. Del, welcome back to On Point.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what kind of reception do you expect when Jeff Sessions sits down before the Senate committee?
It's going to be really interesting for a couple of reasons. One, civil rights groups, immigration reform groups, liberal advocacy groups have all been, just assailing this pick of Jeff Sessions to be the next attorney general. But Democrats are in the Senate. Remember, this is the Senate, and he has served there since 1997.
Long time.
And he has lots of friends there. They work out the gym together. They go to Bible study together on both sides of the aisle. He's going to be introduced by the most moderate Republican in the Senate, Susan Collins. They have two senators introduce the nominee, and
yep.
One of them is going to be her. And I think that says a lot. And you can tell that the Democrats are going to be kind of in a tough spot because – they've never voted down a sitting senator ever for a cabinet position, ever. I believe John Tower was a former senator when he got voted down. And so it's going to be really interesting, this balance of like how hard you hit a former colleague. I think they'll hit him pretty hard, but I don't think anyone has raised the serious possibility of him not getting through the confirmation process.
And yet Republicans themselves have been wary of Senator Sessions. He was passed over for a committee chairmanship there. A stripe of conservatism in Senator Sessions that put him, is it a class of his own in the U.S. Senate?
He is definitely one of the most conservative members of the legislative branch in the United States. There's no question. Everyone has said that from beginning to end. He's kind of his own outlier, too. He's like kind of he doesn't like toe the party line all the time. He's even more conservative in a lot of places than the party line. But he has been a longtime faithful Republican and he's well-respected and well-liked by the people in the Senate as someone who keeps his word even. Like, you'll say, I'll work with you on this, and he actually does. And that in Washington, that can go a long way because we know that doesn't happen a lot in Washington.
He was very early, the first senator, I believe, to come out to endorse Donald Trump. How did these two hit it off?
He did. I read an interesting interview he had given about that. And Trump came to Mobile, had a big rally, and Sessions – in a way, just kind of came to like Trump and said, okay, I'll endorse you because there was no one else in the field. There were a lot of other senators, Rand Paul,
sure
Ted, Cruz, Lindsey Graham, that were running for the Republican nomination. But yeah, Sessions kind of staked out his own territory. And in that kind of way, they're both kind of kindred spirits, like they're not afraid to kind of buck the Republican orthodoxy or the Republican Party. And they kind of hit it off there. And they both have very similar positions on immigration. Sessions is an immigration hardliner, as we know that Trump is also an immigration hardliner. And Sessions has emerged from what we can gather as one of the most influential domestic policy advisors close to Trump.
I want to look at the policy front very closely here because we could see a quite large about-face in the Justice Department policies. But let's go back and look at the man first in some of his history. Mm-hmm. Jefferson Beauregard Sessions, names coming down from the leader of the Confederacy and one of its most famous generals. Take us back to his earlier history, his path to that moment in the 1980s when Ronald Reagan put him up for a federal judgeship, and the Senate, for only the second time in nearly half a century, denied him that seat. What was the background to that moment, and what happened there, Adele?
Well, you know, Jeff Sessions is from the deepest corner of the deepest part of the South in Alabama, from Hibbert, Alabama, a corner crossroads. His dad ran a corner store, country store, and then eventually, owned a dealership and farm equipment. Sessions went to segregated schools, and he would get on the white bus and pass the black bus going to in the same direction of their schools that are only, a couple within the same town in Camden, Alabama.
His father an open segregationist, I believe.
His dad was an avowed segregationist until the end of his life. I dug up a 1985 newspaper clipping in a small Alabama paper where he said, yes, I'm a segregationist, and I don't believe the races should mix, but my son does not dislike black people. He likes black people. And so I pressed the Sessions people to talk about whether did he ever accept or reject ever this kind of – he grew up with it, right? This kind of mindset. And I never got an answer. I couldn't find anyone – it's helpful to understand a little bit more of Sessions' background. It's really nuanced. I wrote a story, front page story for the LA Times that appeared last month about this. I went down to Alabama. I interviewed dozens of people. And it was so difficult to write this story because it's so nuanced, mm-hmm. this issue. So like you
– Which issue are you talking about, Dell? You mean his
race.
Okay.
Issues with race, mm-hmm. segregation, his conservatism. And so he goes to Huntington College – in small Methodist school in Montgomery, Alabama, mm-hmm. where if you visit Montgomery, you're driving down the street. Oh, there's the church Martin Luther King preached at. And then the next block, oh, that was the Southern White House for the Confederacy, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. it's like, whoa, they're right on top of each other.
Sure.
You know, Selma Montgomery March, all those protests were right there. And I interviewed a bunch of his friends from he was a Republican. Jeff Sessions was a Republican before there really were Republicans in Alabama, right? He was one of the first Republicans. And he was president of the Republican Club at Huntington College. And I interviewed a bunch of his colleagues. And they said, to my astonishment, civil rights never came up. The Vietnam War did. They talked about the Vietnam War a lot, but never civil rights. His class was the first to have a black student, first black graduate at Huntington. He took a year off and taught at public schools. He thought he wanted to be a teacher, and his class was almost all African-American. Then he went off to the University of Alabama Law School, and I found some people that's really interesting. So here's this guy whose positions are very conservative and antithetical to what many civil rights groups, Democrats, immigration groups believe are important to their issues.
Yep.
They believe this guy is going to be dangerous for them. But at Alabama Law School, he was one of three white guys who shook hands, smiled, and offered friendship to some of the first black students at the University of Alabama. And I interviewed one of them, and he like still gets very emotional recalling this period. And then all the African Americans I interviewed, and I interviewed a bunch who worked for Sessions, said he's one of the best bosses they ever had. They spoke very highly of him. He was always fair, never had a racist bone in his body. And I interviewed even some of the elected leaders from Alabama and the son of the two civil rights activists he prosecuted when he was eventually U.S. attorney.
Yep.
And none of them believe he has a racist bone in his body.
But then we
but
come
yet
to
he
this.
Has these policies.
But, right. In
yes.
1986, here's then Democratic Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts calling Jeff Sessions into question in a very sort of hard way.
Mr. Sessions is a throwback to a shameful era, which I know both black and white Americans thought was in our past. It's inconceivable to me that a person of this attitude is qualified to be a U.S. attorney let alone a United States a federal judge.
Now he's up for U.S. Attorney General. What was Kennedy talking about? What threw him right out of that Reagan nomination? First time in many years, only second time in half a century.
Well, it was a tight vote. We can't forget 10-8. That.
10-8, yep, still. 10-8. So rare.
He lost two Republicans. It was a Republican majority at the time. And what happened was, so Sessions prosecuted as U.S. attorney three civil rights advocates for voter fraud in a county that was in the black belt of Alabama. So it's majority black county. Mm-hmm. The complaints came from black residents and elected officials. And it was like kind of this complicated thing. But he brought the case for the first time under this statute in the Civil Rights Act and prosecuted them and lost. The case was like the jury tossed it out in 3 hours and whatever. And that they were known as the Marion Three, mm-hmm. and civil rights leaders felt, hey, it's not fair. You prosecuted them. This is ridiculous. Well, then he goes to this hearing, and it emerges from civil lawyers in the Justice Department Civil Rights Office and is one of his own prosecutors that he made racially insensitive comments. One of these lawyers said he agreed when I went and told him a federal judge, this is the civil rights lawyer, was like, a federal judge told me that white lawyer is a disgrace to his race for representing black people. And Sessions said, agreed with that comment. And then Sessions also said he thought the Klan was okay until he learned they were marijuana smokers. And, you know, he portrayed that as a joke. But there were several. He called one of his prosecutors a boy, allegedly.
An African-American man. Stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
We're going to come back and look at that and at policy with Del Wilber and more. Del Wilber covers the Justice Department for the Los Angeles Times. Del Wilber, please stand by in Washington. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the nomination of Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General of the United States, his record, his positions, and the direction of U.S. law enforcement if he becomes Attorney General. Del Wilber is with us. He covers the Justice Department for the Los Angeles Times, has been in Alabama and all over reporting on Jeff Sessions. You can join us as well. Are you worried about racial remarks Jeff Sessions reportedly made in the 60s, 70s, 80s, remarks that got him voted down for a judgeship under Ronald Reagan? Do you believe his claim he didn't say those things or was just joking? And is his view of the world the right one for now in the Attorney General's office? Tough on immigrants, hardline on crime and punishment, maybe open to a registry for Muslims, cool toward gay rights. He's known for being pretty conservative on LGBT issues. After the U.S. Supreme Court ruled same-sex marriage was a right protected by the Constitution, Senator Sessions spoke with Mobile, Alabama CBS affiliate WKRG, saying the court overreached.
I think what this court did was unconstitutional. I don't think they had the power to do what they did. There's nothing in the Constitution that requires such a result. No mention of marriage in the Constitution.
And he came out early for one Donald Trump. Here he was in February in Madison, Alabama, at one of Trump's campaign rallies. First U.S. senator to openly endorse Trump.
This movement, he doesn't take money from political groups and lobbyists. He is committed to leading this country in an effective way. You know, nobody is perfect. We can't have everything, can we, Mr. Trump? But I can tell you one thing. I think at this time, in my opinion, my best judgment, at this time in American history, we need to make America great again.
That was February. In political terms, Senator Sessions hit the jackpot, a very early endorsement. Now Donald Trump, president-elect of the United States. We'll hear from supporter and opponent of this nomination in just a moment. Del Wilber is with us from the LA Times. Let me get a couple of calls here first from Alabama. Dothan, Alabama, Aaron is calling. Aaron, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call today. I grew up with the Sessions family, and, you know, I don't really want to comment on anything personally, but to be honest with you, his nomination as Attorney General of the United States under the Trump administration, considering the comments that he's made, his belief that man-made global warming does not exist, you know, the tape that you just played, him at the Trump rally, you know, regardless of the secondhand statements that people made about what he may or may not have said about racial remarks, you know, you take into account his historical statements that he's made that are completely and totally anti every progressive thing that has come along in the Obama administration should disqualify him completely.
Why, Aaron? I mean, he does not pretend to be a progressive. He's a very upfront conservative. I guess he would say, well, can I be a conservative in this country? And here's Donald Trump. He's going to be president. Why shouldn't he put me there?
Certainly, you can be a conservative in this country. And, you know, there are the Trump election being what it was and the surprise that, you know, most people feel that it was. When you're putting the people that are on the extreme right in places of government, which tends to be what, or it seems to be what is happening under the Trump administration.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just a very dangerous thing. I think, you know, we're looking at reversing a lot of the progress that we have made over the past 8 years, not to mention what Obama was able to do with a Congress that absolutely stymied every single thing that he wanted to do.
Aaron, very briefly, you say you grew up with the Sessions family. What, like how? What do you mean?
He was my third base baseball coach.
Jeff Sessions was your third base baseball coach. All right. That's growing up with. Aaron, I appreciate your call. We've got your perspective. Let me get one more right here from Savannah, Georgia. Rachel. Rachel, thank you for calling. You're on the air with Del Wilbur of the LA Times.
Hi. I was just wanted to say something in terms of the conflicting policies versus like personal interviews and accounts that people have had where they say he doesn't have a racist bone in his body, things like that. I think in order to understand that conflicting information, you really have to understand the climate of the South, that a lot of people's their public image is very different from the way that they actually deal and behave and believe. And I think that you really have to go with his policies to make a judgment call on. I think a lot of people are like, well, you say his policies are very conservative and are hurting this group of people, yet you have people that have worked for him, black people that have worked for him.
Yeah, this is what Del Wilbur found when he went to Alabama.
Right, totally. And I think there's a very different climate in terms of race down here that a lot of people, if you're not from here and haven't grown up here, it's very hard to understand. And where how both races kind of accept certain roles. So I think that you really have to go with the policy that he's trying to uphold in terms of making kind of a call on his conservatism rather than the public accounts or like interviews with people and things like that. Just because I, from being down here, you definitely see a big difference in the public image versus the actual values that they're trying to uphold.
Rachel, we've got it and got it from Savannah, Georgia. Del Wilbur, please stand by for a moment there. William Yeomans joins us right now. He worked in the Justice Department Civil Rights Division at the time when Jeff Sessions has claimed he helped with a number of civil rights cases. He's a professor at American University's Washington College of Law. William Yeomans, Bill Yeomans, thank you very much for being with us today.
Hi, Tom. Pleasure to be here.
Where do you stand on the Sessions nomination for Attorney General?
Well, I think he's the wrong man for the job. The Office of Attorney General is enormously important, and it's almost unique in our cabinet because we expect our Attorney General to exercise a measure of independence from the president. And he's the people's lawyer, not the president's lawyer. And he has to serve all of the people and provide equal and just administration of the law for everyone. And I think that's where Jeff Sessions comes up dramatically short.
Well, how do you know that? He's never served as Attorney General under Donald Trump.
I know. I can judge from his policies. Mm. And he has a long record. He's been an extremist ideologue all of his career. And even in a Republican Senate, he stands far to the right. And so I think that, you know, going through his policies, and I agree very much with your last caller, that we need to talk about his policies. On most civil rights issues, he, I think, is dramatically out of the mainstream and has taken positions that are not helpful to minorities, but primarily he's taken positions that are exclusive instead of inclusive. And I think that's a real problem for an attorney general.
He has pointed to his work on civil rights cases that you were involved in. Yeah. What about that claim by Senator Sessions?
Well, I think a little history helps there. The Civil Rights Division only exists because Congress in the Civil Rights Act of 1957 decided to create it, and it created it because the Department of Justice could not expect U.S. attorneys, particularly in the Deep South, to lead the charge in pursuing desegregation cases and voting cases that would break up the white power structure that had put the U.S. attorneys in office in the first place. So remember, U.S. attorneys are from the local community.
Yep.
Many of them have political ambitions, as Senator Sessions did. And so, for instance, suing to desegregate Mobile schools or to challenge the voting structure in Dallas County, Alabama, would kill those political ambitions. So the Civil Rights Division was created in Washington. It handles civil rights cases from Washington. U.S. attorneys might give office space and shake your hand when you arrive, but that's about it. All the papers are drafted in Washington. They're filed from Washington. Occasionally a U.S. attorney signs a complaint, but the Civil Rights Division lawyers appear in court, and they make the decisions about how the case is going to be litigated,
sure.
And what the arguments will be. And in the cases that Senator Sessions initially took credit for having, he said he personally litigated the cases, were cases that several of us worked on in the Civil Rights Division. We looked at each other, and we all realized that we had had absolutely no
interaction with him on these cases?
Well, yeah, we didn't have any interaction, and we certainly didn't get any substantive involvement from him on these cases. And so in his revised Senate questionnaire, he backed off the notion that he had personally litigated the cases and said he simply gave advice and guidance to Civil Rights Division attorneys, but none of us could remember that either. So
you found him kind of missing in action on those cases where he was claiming credit for civil rights work. Del Wilber, you're listening here. Could you take us quickly down through the list of major issues in which we could see big changes, even an about face, under an Attorney General, Jeff Sessions?
Oh, I mean, there are a lot of them. I thought bills, except if you go back over time, presidents have picked attorney generals who are closely aligned with them, right? Bush had Alberto Gonzalez, right? He tapped him. He was one of his closest advisors. And let's not forget Obama picked Eric Holder. They were very close, right?
So I don't know about the independence argument exactly.
Right. So we don't always have that. So And those are important things to know. Jeff Sessions was a U.S. attorney. He was a former Alabama attorney general. He has the resume items to lead this job just based on that record, whether you believe with his points of view or not. That's another thing. But it could change a lot. For example, is he going to be aggressive going after states that enact voter ID laws? No. Right. Is he going
Which
to.
Which has been described as a way of clamping down on voting,
yes.
of cutting down on voting. Yeah. Okay.
How will he defend, go after those who are accused of violating the rights of other minorities and gays and lesbians, transgender lawsuits, for example, right? That, mm-hmm. The Justice Department suing North Carolina over its transgender bathroom bill. Will those go forward or not?
Quite possibly not. I mean, he's hardly been very warm toward issues about gay rights.
Yes, and my colleague Brian Bennett wrote a really great story about how Sessions could transform the Justice Department in terms of immigration. You know, there'll be more judges and more prosecutions, and they're going to be much more aggressive trying, at first they claim getting criminals out, but getting illegal immigrants, I guess undocumented immigrants.
Would he be
out of
a willing partner in a mass expulsion policy if Donald Trump should come back around to that? He made a lot of it early in his campaign.
I think I've read some stories recently where that's not likely. It's not going to happen, I guess, or likely to happen. I would go back to in Google Brian Bennett's story from a couple months ago. It was a really great take on what he and Trump plan to do on immigration policy.
What about on police departments where there has been concern about local policing? The Justice Department involved in those.
There's so many issues. It's like, where can you start? That's a great question, too, is, he's very pro-law enforcement. He feels cops have gotten a bum rap in a lot of the controversies that have come up in police shootings and use of force over the last couple of years that, we've been chronicling in very detailed ways since Ferguson, Missouri happened. So that's going to be different. Is he going to
– Would he lay off of the, consent orders and the
– Yes. I could see? I could see investigations. I could see there's a big – there's a bad shooting. It's emblematic of a police department's lack of training, and they go in and investigate. And rather than going to court to enforce a consent decree or more likely to send a letter maybe – that says this is what you need to change. Don't forget Trump was endorsed by the FOP. national FOP. So the rank and file police officers, many of them, you know, Sessions is in tune with their thinking.
And not necessarily going into reform sentencing. He's not, and there's been a lot of talk about lightening up on sentences because our prisons are so crowded. He goes the other way.
No, yeah, he's a law and order guy. He's a, you know, lock him up. He's not very pro, he doesn't like marijuana. So that's going to be fun to watch what he wants to do with the states who are openly flaunting federal marijuana laws, right, in the states that have done that. The Obama administration took a hands-off approach and issued memos saying we're only going to focus on the top dealers, not the people buying it recreationally. I don't know what Sessions
this could be. This could be a big turnaround.
Huge turnaround.
Bill Yeoman's, Del Wilber, stand by. Lots of callers, and I want to get to Kerry Severino. Don in Whetstone, Kentucky. Don, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Don, how you been, man?
I'm okay. What do you think, Don?
I just wanted to remind everyone, Donald Trump won the election.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. It's he's not going to nominate Eric Holder for his attorney general. I mean,
no, he's
going to have an exact opposite. That stands the reason. But he won the election. I know it's probably going to take everyone.
And do you welcome this much more law and order, tough, can look like throwback law enforcement from AG Sessions, if that's what we have done?
Well, if throwback law enforcement is enforcing the law and saying if you're in this country and you're not here legally, then you can't be here. If that's throwback, yes, sign me up.
Don, I appreciate your call. Bill Yeomans, you've got deep misgivings, but Don says, look who won the election, and this is how it works.
Yeah. Well, let me take us to just one topic that really hasn't been mentioned, and that's hate crimes. And I think this is very revealing. Senator Sessions was one of the principal opponents of the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Hate Crime Prevention Act, which was passed in 2009.
This would extend hate crime protection to abuse of LGBT citizens?
Yes. And it also strengthened the federal government's ability to prosecute crimes that are motivated by race and national origin and religion, as well as sexual orientation and gender and disability. And so, you know, we are in a time now, and it's a result of this presidential election, where hate crimes are spiking. The numbers are going up, and we hear reports every day. So we need an attorney general who's going to take hate crime enforcement seriously. And I think there are real questions about whether Jeff Sessions is going to be a vigorous enforcer of this hate crime law.
Bill Dell, stand by. Kerry Severino joins us from Washington, Chief Counsel, Policy Director at the Judicial Crisis Network. They work for conservative judges and more all across the country, legal advocacy, very conservative. Kerry Severino, thank you for joining us.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Could you see an Attorney General Jeff Sessions being tough on hate crimes, or will it be a kind of a, well, no big deal?
No, I think he's shown by his whole record and, you know, decades of public service that he is very dedicated to simply enforcing the law across the board. So he's very rule of law kind of guy, as we've talked about. So,
but, you know, there's a lot of discretion when an attorney general decides where to put the weight of law enforcement. That's the whole point of being the top dog there.
Oh, sure. And I don't think he's going to try to expand the law, frankly, the way the Obama administration has done. But I think you're going to see him exactly, as you've discussed, if it's a huge, switch in the policy to start actually enforcing the laws that we have, enforcing the immigration law, enforcing drug laws, then I say, you know, let's have it. It's kind of ironic that we're getting criticism of an upcoming attorney general because he's going to be too interested in enforcing the law. I think he's going to, you know, if Congress decides to change any of those laws, that's absolutely their prerogative. And I think he'll then enforce the law as Congress passed it. But that's the job of the attorney general, is to enforce the law as it is.
And if it's Attorney General Jeff Sessions, it looks like we can expect a lot of tightening up, turning around, about face, call it what you will. Kerry Severino, please stand by at the Judicial Crisis Network. William Yeomans at American University's Washington College of Law. Del Wilber at the LA Times. When we return, we'll go to Huntsville, Alabama, for another perspective on Jeff Sessions. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking this hour about the nomination of Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General of the United States, looking at his record, his positions, the direction of U.S. law enforcement, perhaps, if he becomes attorney general, and the odds look pretty good about that. Back in the 80s, he was rejected in a very unusual Senate vote. We heard Ted Kennedy come down hard on him. Here was Jeff Sessions, 1986, defending himself before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
I am not a racist. I am not insensitive to blacks. I have supported civil rights activity in my state. I have done my job with integrity, equality, and fairness for all.
But he is a rock-ribbed conservative, to say the least, and now he's up for AG of the United States. It's a turnaround. What do you think would look U.S. law enforcement would look like under Attorney General Jeff Sessions? What would you ask him if you were at the hearings? We're at 800-423-8255. One quick call here, and we'll go to Alabama. Carrie in Richmond, Virginia. Carrie, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in Mississippi. I went to Ole Miss, probably the same age as Jeff Sessions. I can tell you the people who elected him are not centrist. They're as far right as you can be without falling off the edge. And certainly he and Mr. Trump are brothers under the skin. You can't believe anything that these folks say once they get to Washington. Of course, they're centrist. Of course, they don't see color. But they are being elected by people who see color very clearly. And he's been a politician, I don't know how many years. But I would ask, does anyone really believe a politician from the Deep South who says, I'm not a racist?
Well, I mean, surely it deserves a hearing, deserves a look at the record, at the very least, Carrie. Doesn't it?
It's Terry with a T.
Terry.
Yes, I agree with you. I don't believe that you are going to go to Alabama and hear anyone say anything but the appropriate statements for you to carry back to Boston,
okay,
New York, wherever.
Yep. Yep.
But racism is institutionalized. It hasn't changed. This election has demonstrated, if anything could demonstrate, that this is a racist country. We are not post-racist. And courtesy of Mr. Trump, these folks are coming out of the woodwork. And that includes Mr. Sessions.
Terry, I appreciate your call. I want to go to Huntsville. I appreciate it very much from Richmond. Let me go to Huntsville, Alabama. Bernard Simelton, he's NAACP, Alabama State Conference president, who was arrested in a protest outside Jeff Sessions in Montgomery just recently. Mr. Simelton, thank you very much for joining us today.
Hi, Tom.
Why were you protesting?
Yes, actually it was in Mobile, Alabama.
Yes.
But the reason we were protesting is we do not like and approve of Senator Sessions being our attorney general. He is not the right person for the job, and so we were making our desires and our opposition to him known.
And describe your understanding, then, of Senator Sessions that would lead to your opposition.
Well, of course, it starts back 30 years ago when he was going through a confirmation hearing for a judgeship in Alabama. And he also, prior to that, had tried to prosecute, while he was a U.S. attorney, tried to prosecute three individuals from Marion, County, Alabama.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that were doing nothing more than registering people to vote. He has called the NAACP as well as the ACLU un-American. He has also voted against the Lilly Ledbetter Act, and he has not—he's not been a proponent of the Voting Rights Act, and he's supported the states having the photo ID, voter photo ID laws. So all these things combined with Senator Sessions as a staunch conservative, you know, leads one to believe that if he is elected attorney general, then we're going to step back in times as far as civil and human rights issues are concerned, probably back to the 70s, 60s.
What do you say to observers like Kerry Severino at the Judicial Crisis Network who say he would simply enforce the law as it is on the books? If you want to change that, change the law.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an easy way out. But the attorney general, certainly they are responsible for enforcing the law. But also, you know, and I know they're not a policymaker, but they influence policy based on their decision of how they influence the people that are under them. And you, if you look at the entire Department of Justice, which, you know, potentially could include the FBI to some extent, I mean, you're talking about a humongous number of people that he can help influence over based on what his ideology is, and his ideology does not fit with mainstream America.
Well, I mean, he's been appointed by Donald Trump, and Donald Trump just, never mind the popular vote, but he won the presidency. How far out of the mainstream can that be?
Well, you know, Donald Trump has also been friends with Putin. And, you know, if you look at, you know, the analogy between Sessions called the NAACP un-American and Donald Trump being friends and cozying up to Putin, which one is more un-American, us or the NAACP or Donald Trump calling Putin his friend and trying to cozy up to them? So Senator Sessions has a long way to go to prove to organizations like the NAACP that his ways has changed and that he's ready to be Attorney General for all people.
Bernard Simelton, NAACP Alabama State Conference President. I know we've got to let you go. Thanks for joining us from Huntsville today.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Michael in Boston. Michael, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have the, you know, I'm from New England, but I'm a conservative.
Okay.
I think that the law should be enforced. We should not have undocumented illegal immigrants, which the left always calls undocumented workers. They're here illegally. If you're conservative or a Christian, I mean, you're the person being discriminated against. And I would just like to say,
what do you mean Christian? I mean, there's an awful lot of Christians in Mexico and everywhere else. I'm not sure.
I mean, you certainly can't have traditional views on marriage and decide to, you know, run, you know, certain sorts of activities or
But on immigration, you say if it's tough, you're fine with that.
Well, I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, what about the people waiting in line legally who want to get into the country?
Michael, we've got it. Bill Yeomans, what do you say to that argument? It's the law. If he wants to enforce it, how can you complain about that?
Well, just simply saying that you're enforcing the law can cover up a multitude of sins.
Mm.
Obviously, the attorney general does make policy by deciding what his priorities will be and how he'll enforce laws. And those are hugely important decisions. And the attorney general has the potential to influence more areas of policy than almost any other cabinet official, because eventually almost everything comes through the Justice Department. So whether it's civil rights or environmental policy or criminal law or antitrust, it all comes through the Justice Department. So the policies that the attorney general promotes, we need to look at them very carefully. And I think looking at Jeff Sessions' policy positions, there is no conclusion other than that he is far out of the mainstream. And I question this statement that he will simply enforce the law. I don't think he'll enforce the Voting Rights Act vigorously. I don't think he'll enforce hate crime laws vigorously.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll enforce the environmental laws vigorously. So I think that, you know, using that kind of rhetoric, oh, he's just enforcing the law, really doesn't get us far.
Carrie Severino, your group, the Judicial Crisis Network, is good at counting votes. You get involved in runs for judgeships all over the country. A lot of money goes into that, including, I'm reading here, Koch Brothers money, one way or another, into your organization, looking to bring about a more conservative complexion to American jurisprudence and maybe law enforcement. So you're good at counting votes. What do you see in the Senate? Do you think he's in?
I think he's absolutely in. I mean, it's very clear he has the votes. He's already got bipartisan support. I think many of the people that even are putting up, throwing up some issues right now, whether it's Senator Feinstein, et cetera, trying to complain. I think they're trying to score political points right now. But I think you'll see a much broader base of bipartisan support down the line. If I can answer a couple of the, because a lot of people have been kind of talking about this, his willingness to enforce the law. And if you even look at the testimony of the people who testified against him in his 1986 judicial confirmation hearing, these are people who are saying he would enforce the law. So Gerald Hebert, who was one of the people who actually started some of these charges, also said not only that he didn't think he was racist, that he thought those were actually meant as a joke and apologized and felt bad that he was being misconstrued, but he said Jeff Sessions was much more helpful than a lot of the other U.S. attorneys, because the Southern U.S. attorneys, we liked, I mean, think of the context of the time. Nowadays, we think, well, of course, they're going to let you do it. No, he was actually very cooperative for a white politician to be that way. And actually, he was one of the people that was campaigning against these segregationists. He campaigned against George
Wallace. Fair enough, but we got to be careful.
At the time, the Democrats were really the party of segregation. And in the South, the Republicans were the party against that. So,
nevertheless,
so I think people are trying to paint him with a very broad brush here.
But come on, it was very unusual. Half a century, only two people were denied by the Judiciary Committee there, and he was one of them. So something happened there.
This was a warm up for Robert Bork's confirmation hearing. This is like the beginning of the wave, and we have seen the confirmation process.
You had Hal Heflin, his own fellow Alabaman there, who voted against him, and out he went. Chris in Evansville, Indiana. Chris, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom. I have a statement and a question.
Okay, let's hear it.
The statement is, I've noticed since the election of Donald Trump, maybe a little before, kind of a change in tone and coverage regarding the president-elect. And I guess my question is, I'm wondering, I don't mean to be, you know, offensive with this one way or another.
Let's hear it.
Has NPR's idea of truth and justice somehow changed since this bigot, you know, was elected president? I'm just wondering. I've heard it in other media outlets, but I feel as if the tone at NPR has changed. I mean, is it simply that he's been elected?
Well, Chris, let me ask you, because this is, I mean, everybody is working with this reality, right? That Donald Trump has been elected president of the United States in our democracy, under our system, our republic.
Yeah. Well, but I feel that in this case, as sometimes happens, the people are wrong. You know, and I understand, you know, people see it differently, but I think it's very easy, to look at Donald Trump and to see what we have here. We have a bigot. We have a reality star bigot moving into the White House soon. And I guess some normalization has taken place. I understand. Yes, it is a reality. But is that reason to stop telling the truth?
I can't speak for all news outlets. I can't speak for all of NPR. I don't think you're going to hear an end truth. I think you're going to hear people working through the reality of a president who's been elected and who is now nominating, and people who may well become the top officials of this land. But Bill Yeomans, pick up this question. I mean, an election, as we're often told, elections have consequences. Barack Obama's people said that when they came to Washington. Now, in effect, that's what the Trump people are saying. On the other hand, we know through American history, we have had laws and we have had electoral outcomes that were in conflict with the fundamental, indeed, understanding of civil rights. How does this country resolve that tension over time?
Well, I think elections have consequences. I don't think that people should ignore their own fundamental values. And I think we have to remain true to those. And this country has been through an awful lot to get where it is on civil rights. And there is no question but that the Trump Sessions agenda would turn the clock back. And you heard this before, but on issues from voting to hate crimes to police relationships, we're facing regression. And I think that it's important for people to take a strong stand against that. Certainly Donald Trump was elected president, but that doesn't mean that he gets to put in office people who are going to turn the clock back. And it is very important that the Senate perform its advice and consent function as it's required to do by the Constitution. This is not a high school popularity contest.
Yep.
It's not whether people like Jeff Sessions. It's about his policy and about how he'll perform as Attorney General, and I think there is reason to have grave doubts about his ability to do the job.
Del Wilber at the LA Times, you're there in Washington. You've been in Alabama. Now you're back in the Capitol. You're watching all of this. I think I heard you say it looks to you like this will go through, Jeff Sessions.
I don't see how it doesn't. I mean, the senators have never rejected a sitting senator before. They've known him a long time, and they generally give a lot of deference to the president's pick. And also, let's not forget the Republicans control the Senate. So you got to peel off some Republicans before you could even deny a judgeship. And I believe the West Virginia Democrat Manchin has already come out in favor of it. So you'd have to peel off a bunch of votes. I don't know where they come from.
Byron in Blanco, Texas. Our time is short. Byron, you're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, Tom. Three quick comments. I would urge everyone listening now to contact their senators, call them, to block the nomination of Jeff Sessions to Attorney General. He has been hiding and lying about his record to the Senate Judiciary Questionnaire, trying to paint himself as some kind of civil rights hero, when we all know that his record shows quite the opposite. I want him to state that day one, he'll reverse the Cole memos, and he'll go against states' rights on all that we've achieved for state marijuana legalization. And, you know, if let's put it this way, if more than three decades ago, a statement like, I thought the KKK was all right until I found out they smoked marijuana, was enough to keep him from becoming a U.S. judge, a federal judge, then it's damn sure enough reason for us to prevent him from becoming Attorney General of the United States today.
Byron, I appreciate your call from Blanco, Texas. Kerry Severino, Dell is down there counting votes. He thinks it's likely he'll go in. Our caller Byron says, call your senator and say no. Do you see an about face coming in Justice Department policy on a lot of fronts, Kerry?
You know, only insofar as that Sessions is actually going to enforce some of these laws that the Obama administration has both attacked. For example, they attacked the Department of the Defense of Marriage Act. They refused to enforce marijuana laws in many states. Their immigration policy is to try to legalize people that aren't legal under the law. And some of these comments, you have people in the room that heard, you know, for example, the KKK joke, who said this is clearly a joke. They were prosecuting someone for a brutal lynching at the time who was in the KKK. That prosecution helped break the back of the Ku Klux Klan in Alabama. This is clearly not something that was intended as serious. Many of these other
senators decided otherwise many years ago. How do you think civil rights do under the Trump administration, Kerry?
I think they will do excellently. I think Senator Sessions has a long record of enforcing these.
We may
they will continue to be enforced,
enough.
But they're
our
not going to be used
right
as a cudgel like these.
Kerry Severino at the Judicial Crisis Network. William Yeomans at the Washington College of Law, American University. Well Dilbert at the Los Angeles Times. Del Wilbur, thanks to all of you. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.